ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the 10th canto, the Summum Bonum. And this is chapter 6, the killing of the demon Putana. So we're on text number 19. Yashoda Rohini Bhyam Ta Yashoda Rohini Bhyamta Samam Balasya Sarvataha Samam Balasya Sarvataha Raksham Vidhari Re Samyag Raksham vidha vidadhire samyag Gopucha Brahmanaribi Gopucha Brahmanaribi Yasoda Ronhi Bhyamtaha Samam balasya sarvataha Raksham vidhadhire samyag Gopucha brahmanaribi Yasoda rohini bhyamtaha Samam balasya sarvataha Raksham vidharire samyag Gopucha brahmanaribi Sarvate samyak Soda rohini bhyamta Samam balasya sarvataha Raksham vidhari samyak Gopucha Brahmanaribi. Vaishnavis. Yasoda Ronhi Bhyamta. Samambalasya Sarvataha. Samvihari Samyag. Gopucha Brahmanaribi. Yasoda rohini bhyamta Samambalasya sarvataha Raksham viharire samyag Gopucha brahmanaribi Yasoda rohini bhyamta Samambalasya sarvataha Masambiharire samyag Gopucha Brahmanadibi Yasoda Rohini Bhyam. With Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, who principally took charge of the child. Ta, the other gopis. Samam, equally as important as Yasoda and Rohini. Balasya, of the child. Sarvataha, from all dangers. Raksham, protection. Vidharhire, executed. Samyak, completely. Gopucha Brahmana Adibi, by waving around the switch of a cow. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Mother Yasoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about a switch of a cow to give full protection to the child, Sri Krishna. Please repeat. Thereafter, Mother Yasoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow to give full protection to the child Sri Krishna. Purport. When Krishna was saved from such a great danger, Mother Yasoda and Rohini were principally concerned, and the other elderly gopis, who were almost equally concerned, followed the activities of Mother Yasoda and Rohini. Here we find that in household affairs, ladies could take charge of protecting a child simply by taking help from the cow. As described here, they knew how to wave about the switch of a cow so as to protect the child from all types of danger. There are so many facilities afforded by cow protection, but people have forgotten these arts. The importance of protecting cows is therefore stressed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishigo raksha vinijyam vaishakarma svabhavajam. 1844. Even now in the Indian villages surrounding Vrindavan, the villagers live happily simply by giving protection to the cow. They keep cow dung very carefully and dry it to use as fuel. They keep a sufficient stock of grains, and because of giving protection to the cows, they have sufficient milk and milk products to solve all economic problems. Simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully, even the urine and stool of cows have medicinal value. Jai. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chaksus Unminitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakada Mayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Thereafter, Mother Yasoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow to give full protection to the child, Sri Krishna. So today, let's talk a little bit about good and evil. This seems to be quite a theme in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, we have to discuss the cow and how could we leave out the devotees. So we'll discuss these things very briefly. So as far as evil is concerned, we see here Putana. And this is a very amazing and astonishing pastime of Krishna. We're just enthralled. We're just amazed and astonished, as the gopis are. They're so astonished with Krishna's pastimes that they're running towards Krishna. They're in anxiety, but yet they're in complete bliss and love for Krishna. So actually, each demon in these pastimes of Krishna, they represent an anarta in our life. And we see Putana, she is most evil. And this evil is real. We understand in the Western world, the devil, or sometimes we think it's as Satan. And Prabhupada mentions as Satan in the Bhagavad Gita that it actually is ignorance. That's what Satan is. But yet, the demons, they think, well, if I get knowledge, and knowledge is, you know, everything, then you're like God. Then you actually become like God. This is like the story in the Bible, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit of the tree, which represents knowledge. So they think this knowledge is as good as God. But this is Maya. This is the example of the demon, Maya. And here she's shown as a very powerful personality, almost equally powerful as Krishna. And it's seemingly almost able to defeat Krishna. This seems to happen. And she comes across as very magical. She can change her shape. She can fly. And not only that, she could become very, very beautiful, like the goddess of fortune. She was so beautiful that nobody even stopped her from entering into the baby's bedroom. But this was like a sword in a soft sheath, as we heard recently from previous verses. So this evil is very real. Even when you hear in the Mahabharata about Duryodhana, and he was considered very evil, very envious. And he actually knew the difference between evil and good. It's not that he said, you know, oh, I'm actually good. These people are evil. But he knew the difference. He knew the Pandavas were very good, very pious. And yet, he knew it was evil, but why couldn't he give it up? He said, oh, maybe it's some power within me. Somebody made me do it. And this is a ruler. He's so helpless that somebody makes him do something. It's not like Krishna is just interested in keeping people down. You know, like, I just want to push you down like this. But Krishna, he's actually, he doesn't meddle in your life, like if you're so important that he's going to just want to keep you down or something. These three modes of material nature, they come from him. Krishna says, I am life, I am death. And actually, evil is the backside of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Mata sarvam pavartate, that everything emanates from me, Krishna says. So if we're seeing the backside of Krishna, we see some evil, then we just have to go come to the front side, like go from darkness to light. So that's our process. So what is this good is represented by Krishna. And this Krishna, this good, it seems so weak. It's just a 6-day-year-old child. But yet this child has a name, Krishna, that if you chant it, it'll protect you from the influence of evil. And what happens to evil? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's revealed, Krishna actually has no enemies, he has no friends, but he just reciprocates with whoever deals with him. Like Putana comes and she wants to kill me, okay, so I'll reciprocate with her. I mean, she's trying to kill me, so therefore I'll reciprocate. I can't be killed, but she's the one that has to die. And to see the result of evil in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find how one time Krishna came home running And he was crying out, "Mother, Mother." And then at that point, Mother Yasoda appeared. And Mother Rohini appeared. And also Mother Putana appeared. She was actually blessed by Krishna to be an assistant to Mother Yasoda. So this is the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna can convert evil into good. So we just somehow or another have to become in contact with Krishna and his devotees and Krishna's items. So we can talk now a little bit about the cow. We mentioned before in previous classes how just one aspect of the cow is so important. We discussed the whole class on the stool. And now we're discussing another part of the cow, just the bushy tip of the tail. That's the switch that the gopis, it's like a chamra. So when there's evil, when the cow dies, they can save different parts of the cow. Or even when it's alive, they could take just the long hairs and they can make like a chamra whisk. And they use that with mantras and they fan it around to get away from evil. So just see the protection of the cow. Even in Africa, I heard that there's these witch doctors. They have these rituals where they use the tail of the cow. So it's just such a simple solution with these subtle arts. And they're lost today. And they're subtle, and they think because they can't be measured, therefore it's superstitious. Just like sometimes people put a horseshoe on their door. They think it'll bring them good luck. But we also have so many good luck charms. The cow has given us so much. And even if you don't believe in these good luck charms, they work. What is the best good luck charm that we have? Is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this art of taking care of the child was known by the ladies in these villages. And this has been lost. They would be able to use the tail with mantras, and they drive away all these dangers and inauspicious things that were coming up. Now what happens if the child gets sick? They immediately run to the hospital if anything happens. Such a simple knowledge and simple ideas to take care of the child, and it's completely lost. To see how powerful Gomata is, our mother cow. We get blessings from the cow, and just by those blessings, so many diseases go away. As we'll read in verses coming up, they poured urine all over Krishna to protect him. So just by pouring urine on a child or any diseased person, you can get rid of so many diseases. They'll just completely go away. But we've forgotten these things. Just as an example, too, in the Vedic times, there was no such thing as high blood pressure. If people were having a little high blood pressure, what would they do? They would just go and massage the cow. And immediately the pressure would go down. So every house had a cow. So everybody was completely happy and peaceful. But today, every household has a dog. And everybody's blood pressure is increasing because of the barking and so many things like that. So just see the cow, while it's alive, while it's dead, it has so many things. You could use its tail. You could use the bones for buttons. You could use the hide for shoes. So many things we talked about. And Prabhupada mentions how important just the urine and the stool of the cow. And in our scriptures, for ancient scriptures, it describes that there are so many medicinal values. And today, scientists have actually discovered. There's these scientists at the Junagadh Agriculture University, that's in Gujarat. They analyzed the urine of about 400 cows. And what they found was traces of gold, ranging from 3 milligrams to 10 milligrams in 1 liter of urine. So this is amazing. So this was found that this gold is a kind of an ionic form. It's actually soluble by water. So they actually analyzed. They said that out of 5,100 compounds just found in the urine of the cow, there's 388 which have immense medicinal value that can cure many diseases. So just see, analyzing just one aspect of the cow. The cow is just so helpful. She protects us in so many different ways. But yet, what are we doing today? We have an economic crisis. And the solution is have a bailout. Print more money. But they don't have any brain to solve the problem. All they're interested in is making money for themselves. And what are they doing? They're eating their own mother. So what kind of qualification is this to lead? It's like a crazy house. So Prabhupada says it's so important to protect the cow. And if you protect the cow and you till the land, then that is perfect economy. You could produce all the grains, all the milk, so many different aspects. You could make a perfect economy in the entire world. So it's so important. You protect the cow, and she reciprocates, and she protects you. The mother, the cow, has so much protection for you from evil, from disease, from so many different things, for health. And yet, what do? We kill her. She protects us from danger, but yet we kill her. And Prabhupada mentions that a society that fails to protect the cows, then there's so many calamities. They kill and they eat their own mother in horrible slaughterhouses. So there's a reaction to that. You kill your mother, then the sons must be killed in horrific, nightmarish war. There was a devotee that noticed a sign by McDonald's and it says, "I'm loving it." It's not that you loving the cow means you eat her meat, but it means to protect her even till she's old. Until she dies, you protect her. A nice retirement plan. So simply, just protect the cow and you could stop war. And the whole world can become peaceful. So this is the importance of the cow. So we have the devotees here. We see, so nice, the gopis. Here, they're all running to Krishna to protect him because they're in such love with Krishna. And they're not running to him to ask him for some boon or for protection. Like we read in the beginning of this 10th canto, like the demigods, they were so fearful they ran to Krishna for protection from all the disasters and things happening. But the gopis, they see Krishna and they run to him for what? To protect him, because they love him. Just like a mother, she loves her child so much that even if the child passes stool, she thinks it's like sandalwood paste, because they have so much love and concern for the child. So the gopis, these devotees, they had fear, they had astonishment for Krishna's wonderful pastimes, because they're completely in love with him. And as far as ourselves, we're so fortunate to have these books. Srila Prabhupada has given us these books to read, to contemplate. He said we should take notes from these books and we should contemplate them. We should hear more and more about Krishna's amazing pastimes. We should use our intelligence to serve Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna. In the beginning, we may have to force ourselves to hear and chant, but the more and more you do it, the more and more we become free from disease. And what is that disease of this material world? And then more and more we'll reach this loving stage of the gopis. By practicing first Vaidhi Bhakti, then we get to the Raghunuga Bhakti. But first we have to get rid of the disease of the mind. And this disease can be cured by this incomparable Krishna Leela. All that dirt, disease of the heart, will go away. But our problem is we're too much interested in the mundane news of the material world. And that's a root cause of our attachment to this material world. We're attached to the newspapers, the cinemas, the eating meat, drinking alcohol. All these four principles that destroy the principles of religion. We're attached to these things. Therefore, this sugar candy of the Bhagavatam tastes very bitter. It's like the person who has jaundice. The cure for jaundice, which is a liver disease, they actually can be cured by sweet sugar candy. But the candy actually tastes bitter. But if you just keep eating the candy, then gradually becomes sweet and you enjoy the taste. And this is Maharaj Parikshit. They were so absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and Sukadeva Goswami that when they heard Krishna was in danger, they're actually experiencing this fearfulness and this astonishment like the gopis were. Because they weren't just speaking and hearing. They actually entered into this lila. And they were so much absorbed that Maharaj Parikshit was asked by Sukadeva, do you want to take a break? Do you want to, drink some water, get something to eat? We've been talking for day and night. He's like, no, I don't feel hunger. I don't feel thirst. I'm just drinking the nectar from your lotus mouth. So this is getting so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada was very happy that the devotees would become absorbed in hearing his classes, reading his books. In fact, one devotee, he came up to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that was such a wonderful class. I really appreciated what you said in your class. Prabhupada said, oh, what did you appreciate? And so he started saying one point after another that he appreciated it. And Prabhupada was just smiling and really appreciated it. And he said, yes, my class is for you. My class isn't for those who are sleeping during class, who are in the mode of ignorance. So this Bhagavad Gita, this Harinam Sankirtan, is like our food and water to nourish us so that we can actually understand who we really are. Understand who you are and act in that way. So it's very important. They say the most important thing is that we have to try to save the world. But even utmost more importance is to save yourself. And what's the secret to saving yourself? Is by saving the world. So this is the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Always concerned about the welfare of others. So I'll end with this quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's by Prahlad Maharaj. Swasti astu vishvasya kala prasidatam jayantu bhutani sivam mitodiya manascha badram bhajatad adhoksaje aveshatam no matir apyahoitiki. Prahlad Maharaj says, may there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So this is actually His concern for everyone. And this should be also our concern. And this is the secret to become Krishna conscious and to actually save oneself. There's a little couple sections in the purport I like to read. Prabhupada mentions how the Vaishnava is just like a desire tree. He can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter at his lotus feet. And he used Prahlad Maharaj as an example. He doesn't pray for himself, but he prays for all living entities. And Prabhupada mentions here that the material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisingo, Hridaye Nrisingo. Let Lord Nrisingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. And then Prabhupada's last paragraph in this particular purport, he mentions here very nicely, if the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna, everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivim mito diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Mana Krishna Padada Vindayo, as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Once you constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. So this is the discussion we had on the good and evil and the importance of the cow and how the devotees also understand these things. And they develop loving relationships and they're concerned, like the gopis, for others, concerned for Krishna. So we also should be concerned for Krishna, how pleasing Krishna looks, beautiful Krishna looks, how to serve him nicely. And in that way, as Prabhupada says, everything will be all right. So Bhrigupati had his hand up already. Jai Prabhu.
Thank you. Nice class. I have a question on the good and evil.
Yes.
Okay. So Putana was clearly evil by anybody's standards. She's clearly evil.
Putana.
Yeah. Even people right. who aren't devotees today would consider her evil. By anybody's right. standards, she's evil. She's going around and killing children. Okay.
And also try to kill Krishna.
And then on top of that, she goes to try to kill Krishna. So she's clearly evil.
Yeah.
But the result was Krishna gave her incredible mercy. I mean, considering how evil she was, that she wound up getting liberation, a personal form of liberation, as a maid servant to Krishna's mothers. It's incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, I was just hearing a lecture by Prabhupada the other day, and he was talking about how powerful Yamaraj was, and how Yamaraj his mind is so powerful, his intelligence is so great that when the people that are brought before him, he knows. He just knows by whatever process. He knows all the different sinful things they've done.
Yeah.
He also basically immediately knows exactly the appropriate punishment to meter out to them.
Right.
And so Prabhupada concluded the lecture by saying, so those who do not, participate in this Krishna conscious movement, they're awaiting punishment from Yamaraj. So my question is this: it doesn't seem really balanced. In other words, it doesn't seem really balanced because here's people who they don't seem anywhere. I mean, they don't seem particularly evil to me. I mean, they're just kind of like, even Prabhupada said on different occasions, the mass of people are basically innocent. They're just misled by poor, by bad leaders, okay? So, you get people that just because they're born into a particular way of life and they just follow that and they don't think for themselves. Everybody's eating meat, they eat meat. They're just doing what everybody else does. When you meet them, they're not out there killing children or they're not trying to come and, break the deities or anything. But
their mother.
Okay, yeah, right. But only because, that's what they were introduced to. So, but if they don't take to the Krishna conscious movement, they're awaiting punishment from Yamaraj. So here on the one hand, you have people who kind of seem a bit innocent. And as I said, even Prabhupada said, the mass of people are innocent. They're just misled, and they're awaiting punishment from Yamaraj. And on the other hand, you have this really evil person. I mean, by anybody's standard, as I said, super evil. And she's getting this incredible benediction of Vatsalya Ras liberation. So how do we understand that?
Okay, so your question is, we see Putana, so evil, getting such great benediction compared to so-called innocent common people awaiting Yamaraj. How is that balanced?
Yeah,
it's a good question. So it's we can't see that awaiting Yamaraj is their end. It's part of their purification, you know, that they will subtly, they have to be punished for a particular activity. I mean, Putana was killed. She suffered the pain of dying. And so there is going to be some reaction, but yet it could be minimized by some pious activities. So, you know, there will be a chance again and again. Krishna is always looking for an opportunity to bring them back and using you as an opportunity to help that also. So I think Savas has some more clarification on this, so we'll let him speak.
Well, first of all, I think we should understand that anyone that is in Krishna Leela is not an ordinary living entity.
It's true.
This is a pastime of the Supreme Lord.
Right.
You know, he wants to engage in these activities, and if for us to understand it with our mind is impossible. But we should know, according to the Acharyas, that any time there's a living entity and they're being touched or touching the Supreme Lord's body, that's not an ordinary living entity. It's a very rare soul, a very intimate associate of the Lord, actually. And it's mostly like a pastime. Whereas these ordinary living entities living in the material world, we should know that because they have the body, which is just made of these material elements, automatically, and we're like in prison. We're prisoners because we've committed a lot of sinful activities. Just by having a body, if you see someone with a body, automatically they're sinful.
Yeah.
Automatically, just because they have that body. So they may not be evil in terms of how we're trying to see evil, but they are sinful. And right. The body is just a symptom of their sinful activities, birth after birth after birth. Whereas the activities of the Supreme Lord are transcendental. And anyone in the association of the Lord is transcendental. And Krishna just wants to have a pastime. He wants to kill people. This is what he wants to do. And if we try to understand that with our mind, it'll be impossible. But, you know, Krishna likes to have fun. He likes to do certain things. Just like, you know, we do. We like to do crazy things. You know, so it's not like Krishna does anything crazy, but he wants to have a pastime. And he wants us to read those pastimes and remember them and be happy. You know, when I heard yesterday that little baby Krishna was kicking her, I was just trying to imagine in my mind how beautiful that must have been. You know, little baby Krishna there, and he's kicking her body. And I thought that was, to me, that was just incredibly transcendental. And it was beautiful. And it was just a pastime that he was performing. And just having a good time about it. For us to try to understand that, of course, is very difficult. So really, we're sinful living entities. That's why we're in a material body. Putana was not. She was part of the Leela of Lord Krishna. So she was an amazing soul.
Jai. Thank you, Savas Prabhu. Okay, Archita. Had his hand next.
Well, Brigapati Prabhu very nicely gave you two choices in life here. You can be an ordinary living entity and either take to the Krishna consciousness movement or meet Yamaraj, or you can be an extraordinary person like Putana and get killed by Krishna. Which do you want? It's not so easy to become that extraordinary soul that's directly killed by Krishna. It's much easier to just take to the Krishna consciousness movement and avoid Yamaraj. So those are the choices. You can try to be like Kamsa and meditate on Krishna negatively, but he was meditating on Krishna, and he got killed by Krishna, and he got liberation. But that's very rare. It's very difficult to do that. The ordinary, like you said, living entities, they're just sinful by following along sinful everybody else's sinful activities. They don't have the potency like a Kamsa to simply concentrate on Krishna day and night. Every waking moment he's simply thinking of Krishna, dreaming he's thinking of Krishna. That can't be done by everybody. But everybody can take to the Krishna consciousness movement and in that way avoid Yamaraj.
Jai. She's next. Kriya Shakti.
I think that this pastime is coming at a really interesting time of year for us because we're coming up to Halloween when there's lots of witches.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, these are not really true. The witches don't really exist. But we're seeing a lot of similarities between Putin, what Srila Prabhupada says about they can ride on uprooted trees, which is not really so far off from a broomstick, you know, a stick with
sure.
something that comes out the, looks like a root,
yeah.
A branch of a tree. I mean, these are the kind of stories that make kids afraid to stay out after dark and afraid to look under the bed at night. But the story of Putana, that the fairy tales that we grew up with and that made us afraid of Hansel and Gretel, they were children that were going to get eaten by a witch, and we kind of grew out of them and we thought, okay, this is just not real anymore. This is a fairy tale. But we see that the origin maybe is coming from fact, from something. The lore has been taken from fact and changed into a fairy tale. But another question that I had in the verse, there was a word that was used, Gopucha Brahmana Adibi, which was the switch of a cow.
Right.
I mean, the switch of a cow. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says that it was the tail of the cow that was circumambulated, you know, that was waved around. And I looked up, and the tail of it, that wouldn't be the chamara, because chamara means chamara. It wouldn't be a wisp, but the tail, pucha, means tail. So I question that translation.
Yeah, like I said, the switch is the long, hairy, bushy at the end of the tail.
Ah.
That's the switch.
And the translation says it seems to indicate
the tail.
You know,
yeah,
switch that you
yeah.
use to herd cows or something. But
yeah, they would use the hair and make some kind of like a chamara. I didn't say it was a chamara, but they use it like a chamara. But in that way to wave around, like the African, you know, medicine doctors used to do, just go around. But they knew this art. It's a subtle science that's lost today.
So it was actually the tail of the cow,
yeah.
not a stick that is used.
No, it's the tail. Herd, yeah,
it's
the tail.
Cows.
Yeah, it's definitely.
The translation is a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Misleading.
Yeah, it's like a stick, I guess, but it's a tail. Was there? Yes. There's a question here.
Thanks a lot for such an enlightening class, Prabhu. It was very good. Just to answer this Prabhu's question, like Putana, why was Lord Krishna so merciful to her and he was kicking her and all? I feel like Putana in her last birth was Bali Maharaj's sister in a demon family. And when Vamanhari Prabhu comes, he was such a sweet, you know, short form. To beg alms from Bali Maharaj, who was very, very kind. And when Putana, in her last birth, when she sees Vamanhari Prabhu, she gets so attractive. You know, Lord Krishna is very, very attractive. So she gets so attractive to him that, and in that small form, she wants that, you know, she should be like her mother and he should suck her breast and take her milk. So, and Lord Krishna is very, very kind and he fulfills everybody's desire. So that is what in Krishna Leela time, he brings, you know, that sister of Bali Maharaj as Putana and fulfills her desire. Because she must have collected a lot of piety and all to have that blessing and kindness of Lord Krishna. So he fulfills everyone's desire and that was her desire.
That's nice. So see, Krishna reciprocates with you according to your desire. So whatever you like, Krishna will reciprocate. Jai. So any other comments, questions? Jai. Oh, yes, Prabhu. One over here, Sachi. Oh, is there someone back there?
Hare Krishna.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Prabhu.
Well, I was just analyzing about trying to figure out that in a relative sense, you know, when we analyze evil and we, you know, like try to compare certain things like Putana or the biggest demons in the Bhagavatam in relation to what we do here, how evil can we be? Can we be? And it looks like we're just a small, tiny little demons in that sense. But if we actually analyze too that if we actually believe and understand what the Shastras mentions, like we have seven mothers and one of them is the mother cow, and who will be that person or crazy who will hurt or kill or support to kill his own mother? Because that's the way it's been seen in the Vedas. And how demon will you be, or a person will be killing his own mother? If we just think about that, yeah. Then the answer can be there. Then we may, I'm not doing this. Somebody else doing it. I just go and buy this, or I just do this. Actually, I'm not doing anything. So yeah.
Total ignorance.
There is a verse actually that gets really heavy in that. Yavi devesu vedesu goso vipresu yadushu, where he says that person who is against the very literatures, against the demigods, against mother cow, him and his entire civilization, I will come and destroy it.
Yeah.
He gets really angry there, Krishna.
Yeah.
So I mean,
true.
You know, are we, do you know, I'm not a big demon. Maybe we are. You just don't realize it. It's hard to accept and it's very hard to convey this message, but actually...
Yeah, it's true. Such ignorance in the material world that they don't realize what they're doing. So Prabhupada says this ignorance is Satan. So we have to give this transcendental knowledge, give them Krishna's pastimes, his astonishing, amazing pastimes to purify the mind and the heart. So thank you very much. Aur goyas Srimad Bhagavatam, aur goyas to Srila Prabhupada.